Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's Mike Shope.
Last night at 12:30 in the morning, I ate a can of mushrooms.
I did.
Pieces and stems, if you're wondering. As opposed to buttons, it was pieces and stems, which will be my next year's fantasy football team name.
Pieces and stems.
Pieces and stems.
And the Bulldog.
I should be ashamed to admit this publicly, but whatever. How long have we been doing this? I'm a junkie. I can't be trusted.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I've come a long way since Pieces and Stems.
No kidding.
Fantasy-wise,
three
but also...
Three fantasy teams, you're saying that in that clip?
Mushrooms-wise.
Oh,
as well.
I see.
I'm now getting like the marinated package of mushrooms like by the deli.
Okay.
You know, maybe some garlic.
All right.
Or peppers. I like to make them, too.
I like it.
So, yeah.
The world of mushrooms is a fascinating world, Mike.
Oh, you're so right.
Yeah.
Get ready for more taunts. Christian McCaffrey out. Here comes Jordan Mason right down your throat on Sunday. Get ready.
Oh, you claimed him, eh? You got him on your squad?
I did. Yeah. Olympic Sands.
I think I am. I think I'm taunt-proof. I don't know. I mean, I'm not scared of the taunts. I don't know how to find them.
I think you're lying. Oh. I would never admit to being taunted. I didn't see it. That's what you're doing.
Oh, I would love to be taunted. Because this is not. This is.
Sure.
I would say that too.
That's also what someone would say.
I want to be engaged. I want to feel like you. You need to. I think I'm winning. I'm in your head. I know I'm losing, but I'm in your head enough that you're taunting me. Like that's good for me. I'm not gonna look around like what's the name on the back of your jersey like Allen did to that dude last night. Did you see the clip of that? Somebody on the Dolphins was talking smack at him, and Josh gave him the old like look around behind like who are you again?
Allen, I mean it just continues. It was 4 years ago. It was his rookie year, the second time they played late in the season, maybe last game of the season against Miami, and the Bills crushed them. That's not even the game that the Dolphins needed. Maybe it was. Just like
no, it wasn't
okay. The rookie year, and then only the one loss since.
Yeah, the year they needed it was I think 20. The Bills were already great,
okay.
They murdered him by 30 or whatever it was.
56-26.
Yep.
It just continues. I think last night, for all these Bills beatings of the Dolphins, was the worst for Miami because the Bills. I mean, I'm not sure this is. We're going to send this away yet, but they seem vulnerable, you know, and you're at home. You've got that extra motivation. You've been listening all offseason to people just sort of dismissing you because of, you know, they're not one of the big boys. The Dolphins are such an easy target.
Can't beat good teams. Couldn't beat the Bills at home to win the division with a 3-game lead with 5 games. Yeah, they've been getting smashed. You know, that narrative was right to sort of dig into going into this game. And that's, yeah, that's why it's got to hurt all the worse. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, we talked to Armando Salguero on Wednesday about the Dolphins and the league. And he went long on the Tyreek Hill episode from last Sunday and said, like, that's the only thing. It's a short week, and that's all anyone has been talking about here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Already the game is Thursday, and all anyone's talking about is the cops and Tyreek Hill and all that. So I don't know, maybe that swallowed them up or something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, they gotta feel just utterly demoralized. I mean, they got manhandled while Tua Tagovailoa was playing, and then on top of it, he suffers yet another concussion, and his entire future is up in the air. That is not too dramatic to say. You know, maybe he'll recover quickly and be back in a week or two. Who knows? You know, guys go into the concussion protocol and come out relatively quickly. So, you know, I'm going to assume every precaution and every I and T are going to be dotted and crossed, respectively, on this player in particular. But there's no guarantee that he comes back at all. And so it's week two. The season is just getting started, and now that on top of looking completely and utterly inferior to the Bills.
803-0550, Football Friday. We're good here for the next 15 to 20 minutes. We'll do picks after that. Things are a little truncated for us today with a Sean McDermott press conference that will run at the top of next hour, and then Paul is absolutely just ripping the show from our hands.
He is banging on the door over here.
Down at Harbor Center for the Prospects Challenge, so that'll be coming your way before 7, and the game's at 7. Here's Brian next. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. So just my general observation last night, just a strange conservative game plan, I thought, from the Dolphins. I mean, they tried that deep shot right away to Tyreek Hill. Benford had that completely walled off, noticed it, was at full steam, and was stride for with Hill. And then I just felt like the whole first half, when the Dolphins really could have made a difference in the game, it was just kind of runs and a lot of strange, like, dump-off plays. You know, right away in the second half, you know, they tried one to Hill. That might have been his best play of the night. They just, like you were saying, Mike, they just did a bubble screen right to him and said, like, here, we're going to just force you the ball mm-hmm. to get you back into the game. But I thought just a strange play. And it reminded me of, like, the Panthers when they had Christian McCaffrey, where, sure, fantasy-wise, he piles up gaudy numbers, but it's just, I mean, Achan became their entire offense, where he's the dump-off option, he's running the ball all the time, he's 22 carries in that game, even with Tua. So, yeah, the Bills caught them on the right night when it came to that.
Yep, it's always, or almost always, both ways, right? Like, we got into this last hour, where the Bills' defense is really, they've done an amazing thing. Not just this game, but consistently over the years. I mean, they've had great players too. But whenever they lose somebody, they just seem fine. Like, they just come through it fine. I don't think they think of it like that. You know, it's not that Matt Milano or Taron Johnson don't have real value, but here we've said it all already. Like, here you're playing a team that just has every reason to get you. And they didn't really play that way anyway. And then when they did try things, Tua was off and you had easy picks. And you end up winning with 31 points on a night where you ran 45 plays, which is kind of insane. There are two games, I mentioned this earlier and tweeted it. There are two games in Bills history going back to the mid-60s, at least, where they ran as few plays and won. 45 was the number last night. That's super low. Yardage-wise, too. Like, it's the second lowest yards total in a Bills win since Allen, I believe. There was a Jet game a couple years ago at home that I don't remember at all.
Yeah, I have them at 237 yards on the game.
237, which is low. I mean, Allen's passing prop was higher than that. That's their total, and Cook scored 3 touchdowns. So there's two Bills games in the last 55 years-ish where they've run fewer plays and won. One was Jim Kelly's first ever win, 1986, against St. Louis. The show has never sounded older than a reference to a football game against St. Louis. And then that famous Sunday night 1990 Raiders game. I was there, and the block punts and Odom's wrestling the ball, I think from Willie Gault, was it, or Brown, on the sideline and scoring. The Bills ran, I think it was 43 plays, something. It was fewer. They scored 38 points in that game somehow doing that. So just very small company in that area, like that sort of context for what last night's game was. 31-10 on 45 offensive plays. And Allen comes in at what?
139 yards.
Yikes.
Only 2 yards rushing on two carries.
What?
One bench hurdled.
I guess I don't have that on here.
Yeah, they didn't.
I saw it.
I don't think fantasy allows for that. There's no scoring mechanism to
there should be.
Get you points for hurdling the bench. Yeah, look, I mean, I think, you know, catch him on the right night. Sure, when we talked about this during the last hour, you know, you're not exactly saying it, but you're pointing at Miami like the caller, and I'm right here going, hey, man, flowers for the coaches, flowers for Jamarcus Ingram. But, look, those turnovers were sloppy. I don't think they're bankable. I mean, you got a ball that went off of the receiver's hip, basically. Terrible job. That's DuBose on the first one. The second one was a horrendous throw. And then the third one was just maybe Tua's flaws all-encompassing on that play. He can't get out of there. There's pressure in his face. All he wants to do is throw it out of bounds, and he airmails it to the point where Jamarcus Ingram can practically fair catch it and waltz into the end zone.
Wow.
I mean, those are your turnovers. Then, you know, we already talked about the fourth down stuff. I mean, the Bills stopped them on 4 out of 5 fourth downs, and, you know, that was winning at the point of attack. Two of those were sacks. At least two of them were sacks. Did they pick a bad time to get beat up front? And they just this did not have it. But as far as like the choices Tua's making there, I talked about it all day yesterday leading up to the game. Disrupt that first read, make him reload and reconsider, and you are already ahead of the game with playing that team. Because what they want to do is hit that first guy quick in timing, out of motion. He's got room to run. He's already got a full head of steam, and he's going to torch you. I mean, they do it all kinds of different ways. But the way they want to beat the Bills, I think, because the Bills are going to really try to take that deep stuff away from you, is underneath and crossers and just quick hitters and use that speed to kill you. And the only speed you really saw in the game out of them was Achane. Hill and Waddle were very muted, and I give the Bills coverage credit for that. They pushed Tua to have to throw it to Robbie Chosen. And you're playing the Miami Dolphins. That is absolutely where you want to live.
Were you online during the game?
Not much.
What is the latest with this? So I went on my friend's podcast. It's called Ship Chasing. It's a fantasy-themed thing. And they sometimes call me when the Bills are playing. So it's a show that's on all the time. Thursday night football they do with pick'ems and everything. So I agreed to go on. And, you know, one guy's in Boston, another is in San Diego, one's in Seattle. And they're all watching the game at different moments. Like, everybody's stream is a little different.
Right.
And I love these guys. Like, these are friends of mine that I've come to know from Vegas trips and everything. Like, I can't wait to say yes when they ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go on, and I am like literally 30 seconds behind the slowest of the three of them. So it's kind of loose, right? You know, we don't talk over each other, or we try not to. It's a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, more old-fashioned. These guys are just like, you know, we're drinking, and, you know, everything, anything goes. Anything right. goes. And so every time I started to talk, Gretch would be like, oh! I mean, it was like the Kincaid injury, the first pick, the first touchdown. I mean, I just could not. I was so far behind, and there was no glitching. I'm on Fubo. I'm on Prime. I'm not on Channel 7. I'm mm-hmm. on Prime on Fubo. And is it everybody? So I was not on Twitter, X as you call it. I was not on Twitter or X, but I'm on this stream, and it'd be kind of cool if we were all sort of on the same timeline here with this game.
Yeah.
But I never caught up. And at like end of the first quarter, I'm like, guys, I'm not really even watching this game right now. I got to go.
I did not notice. I did dip in. I will say I don't, I try to stay out of social media while the Bills game is going on because it's just to, you know, just there's just a lot of overreaction while the game is happening. In particular, I do that when we are going to be working after the game. Like, I just don't want all of that clouding my brain. Like, that, you know, like Big Nuts 55 was mad about a punt in the first quarter. Like, it just, it's not going to help me at all. If I'm mad about the punt, I'll tell you. I don't need to know that he was mad or she. All right. So anyway,
it might be a she.
It could be a she. Think? Big Nuts 55. Who knows?
That's the genius.
That's the beauty of social
media.
That's
the bit.
I don't even know. Could be a 12-year-old kid for all I know. Anyway. So, but you know, we're not working last night. So I was, you know, dipping in and out, and I don't think Prime, like, I wasn't watching on Fubo. Like, I have just the Prime app itself.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay, all right.
That's what I meant. So, it wasn't Fubo.
Yeah, like Fubo, I get a lag, and I see tweets. It's another reason why I stay off it while I'm watching the Bills games, because it can spoil it. I did not experience any of that. When I looked in, it seemed like, I was pretty on top of it. So, I don't know, you might have had a system failure in your house.
Well, it became just a whole big Buffalo joke, the whole show. Like, you know, one of the, it's not a bit, but one inside joke of theirs with me is like, does Buffalo have an airport? And, you know, yes, we actually do. We have an NFL team. We have an airport. Mm-hmm. And so I get on there last night. I'm there because the Bills are playing, and I'm just like five plays behind. I mean, I just, what good am I? Oh, the game. And that was just the joke. Well, you know, everything was about how far behind I was watching this game. But
tough one there.
I don't know what to do about it.
Like, no, I don't either.
I was caught up, you know, live.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just what I had.
Yeah. That's weird.
I said, I'm not even in Buffalo. I'm north on the border. I'm on the water on the border by Canada. And I'm using that excuse.
Maybe that's the problem.
Now, is that the problem?
Too close to the river?
And they're like, you're north of Buffalo? It's that bad? You know, yes. Yes. It's good and bad. Right now it's bad.
There's north of Buffalo. What's north of Buffalo? Antarctica?
What could that be? Where's that? Show me that on a map. It's water. Anyway. Sean McDermott, I mean, what another great night for him. Mike McDaniel. It's a new season. Last year, Mike McDaniel was just blowing people's minds with their offense. And here we go. Okay. Down Milano, down Johnson, Hyde Poyer, Trey White.
Bernard eventually.
Bernard pretty early.
Yeah.
And whatever.
Nope.
10 points.
Yeah, McDermott. Yeah, the defense definitely deserves a lot of the credit today, in my opinion, without a doubt. But talking about McDermott, I want to mention again, I think I did at the start of the show, that first drive, that fourth and three, was a great moment for him too, because for a lot of fans, I mean, I'm not the most aggressive, you know, the fourth down thing and whatever. But you know, I like when you're going to go for it. I like when you're not going to punt. And they're fourth and three, and it's like, okay, they're keeping the offense on the field. Good. Then as they line up and the play clock is ticking down, I'm like, oh, this is one of these. They're just going to try to get them to jump, which, you know, gets tedious. And it's annoying because it usually leads to them not going for it. But, you know, it can pay off. So I'm not against them trying it. The surprise, the thing that I think was so good for McDermott last night is not only did it look like they were lining up to just draw them off sides, they call the timeout. Like, okay, of course, here comes the field goal kicker. And it wasn't apparent right away. Like, as Allen, the way the camera shot, at least on the feed I was watching, Allen's walking to the side. It's kind of a tight shot on Allen, and you can see Quentin Morris and other guys that I'm expecting are field goal team guys walking out on the field is what I'm thinking is happening. And they're going to take the points. But no, they talked it through, and here comes the offense back on the field, and Joe Brady dials up just, I mean, a work of art. Such a great play call. The misdirection, it was a little reminiscent to me of Andy Reid and the Super Bowls. Like, he's got Samuel in motion twice, and he doubles back. And, of course, I mean, watch that play back. The Dolphins' eyes collectively are on Samuel. They think all of that motion, all that eye candy is designed to get you to think this is designed for him. He's going right. Oh, he's coming back. Oh, he stopped and turned around. He's going back right. And then there's Cook just all alone, buck naked, wide open.
It's like a Dolphins play.
Just a beautiful, beautiful play. I mean, that is scheming someone open. Somebody called us last night during pregame. Like, I want to see Cook more involved, not just dump offs. I'm like, They'll do that. They did that last year. There it was last night. I mean, that was absolutely designed for Cook. Walk-in touchdown. Perfect.
Great night for him. We've got picks coming up. Hall of Famer Joe Schmidt has died. Football player from the old days, Detroit Lions. You know the name?
Sounds familiar.
He's a linebacker.
Which one of us kicked him out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
I don't know, but I remember him for one.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Thing. When I had my last ever episode of The Hobby, you know what happened?
Terry Pegula called?
So Kim Pegula was, they were in the car listening, and she thought, you know, she and I had met a few times, and, oh, it's his last show. Why don't you call in? Why don't you be the last caller in the history of the show? So he does. Terry.
This is Terry Pegula, Bills and Sabres owner.
Terry.
Right.
And I don't know it's him. You know all this. I know you know all this. But, you know, he's trying to figure out, I guess, like, what am I going to say? You know, it's a card collecting show. What does he have to say? And the one thing he said before I dismissed him was his favorite player was Joe Schmidt.
Oh, no kidding.
I think he might have even said that at the press conference when he bought the Bills. He might have mentioned Joe Schmidt. I hope I'm remembering the call right. It was very short because I had to get out by 8:56:50 so that we could get to that betting syndicate.
The Saskatchewan silencer was waiting. And you don't want to keep the Saskatchewan silencer waiting. He does not take that well.
Even if I'd known it was him, I probably would have moved on. I mean, it was just I had to get out on time. So I didn't know it was him, and that became a thing.
That's cool. He mentioned that player. That's awesome.
He either did, maybe he mentioned the Lions. I think he was a Lions fan. And that at the press conference, I think he mentioned Joe Schmidt. So I think Joe Schmidt was in his 90s and is a Hall of Famer. Okay, picks early today. After sports, it is Football Friday on WGR. Why? Because it's Friday. And, I mean, every day is kind of a football day around here, but that's what we've got. And we want to thank our sponsors for that. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there have been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
Picks, what a treat for you, the listener. What a reward, as this is early for Picks.
At a special time. It's a very special edition of picks. Yes.
Are you still ahead?
I think I'm a half. I think I'm a half game ahead. You got to push somewhere.
Yeah, Seattle.
So I think I'm 3-3, and you might be 2-3-1.
Sounds right, because yeah. I had the Ravens in the opener. Lost that one. Won that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that is right. The account that takes care of this for us did tweet at us earlier in the week, and that those were the standings. 3-3, 2-3-1. So, yeah, I'm a half game up, which means I'm running away with it already, and I also get to go first. So
I get to go second, you meant to say.
That
advantage me.
I'm sorry, did it come out wrong? That's what I meant.
A retaunt.
You get to go. You're behind me. You get to go after.
I have the advantage.
Me.
This is why you defer. I have the advantage of knowing who you picked. Thank you.
But can you double dip?
Did the Bills defer?
Yes, they did. They won the toss and deferred.
Worked again.
Yeah. Not that they would have told you that on the broadcast. The TV, anyway. The radio, I'm sure. Eric Wood had a little fun with me last night. I was complaining about the broadcast, and he tweeted it at me.
Just listen to us.
I'm sorry, he said. I'm sorry.
You tweeted about it, and he saw your tweet.
I said, this broadcast is a joke. And he tweeted, I'm sorry. And Owen, we went outside at halftime and sat on the porch for a few minutes, and Owen says, did you see Eric Wood? I'm like, oh, no.
Well,
so, a little content on Monday with Eric when he joins us at 4 o'clock. Anyway, so I didn't have, look, I won my college game, and then I only won one of my Sunday, Monday NFL picks, the Jets losing to San Francisco. That's the only one I got right. Everything else, including the Bills not covering, they won by 6. I had them at -6.5, so I did not have a great week. But I did win my college pick, and I'm going back to the well with Ole Miss. And what's that dude's name? Jackson Dart. Right. They are laying 22.5 on the road at Wake Forest. Wake Forest even plays football? I mean, what are we even doing?
Very harsh scenes.
Demon Deacons? Is that are they? That's not.
That's right.
They need to change that, right? So they're still.
Was that offensive to somebody?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I don't know. I don't mean to be crass.
It's a great name.
If it is, I think it is too. Anyway, so Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, who I hate, just like I hate almost every college football coach, just their faces, the visors, the everything. Kirby Smart, like Kirby Smart looks like he's wearing one of those wigs with the visor that like Thurman Thomas would wear at a golf tournament for a joke.
You know
that's what Kirby's. These guys are the worst.
Thurman wore that thing in here the one year he and I did Friday mornings, and I thought it was really his hair.
Of course you did.
I just wasn't sure enough to make fun of it. Because it looked like my hair. It had a visor, like a fake visor,
right,
and then a wig.
Right, yeah.
It looked like me. So I thought maybe I shouldn't just bring it up. I wasn't sure enough to bring it up. That was the Chompy era.
That was back in the day when we, the goat, right?
Chompy.
He had a goat, yeah. We took turns, I think, on that Friday show.
Okay.
I think we alternate. We had a draft even for the weeks.
Oh, we had a Thurman show draft?
I think we did.
I know I got all the money.
It's so lucrative working with Thurman Thomas.
I mean, it was great.
Nothing better.
I'd do it again.
It's not a better gig. Anyway, Ole Miss -22.5 at Wake Forest. There, I mentioned the coach and the quarterback. That's all I got for you. I don't have anything other than Demon Deacons on Wake Forest.
They play a lot of zone.
Okay. Yeah, well, that'll play right into Jackson Dart's hands, let me tell you. You know what I found out about myself last Saturday, by the way? Sorry, I'm belaboring picks here, but I will sit through the quarter to 12. As it turned out last Saturday, we got done golfing. I got a little cleaned up, sat down. It's quarter to 12. And I'm like, Saturday college show on ESPN.
Game day.
I got to get to game day. I want to see Lee Corso put the mascot head on. It's like the greatest recurring bit in sports television history for me. And it means so much to me that I will sit there for 15 minutes while an ever-growing panel of people, there's like 60 people on that panel now, and like they're going through every game that's on, I think, the ESPN or ABC family of networks. I'm not sure if they're all just their games. But they're picking all the big games, and, you know, it's Nick Saban and Pat McAfee, and Michael Phelps was there last week. I mean, it's just like all these people. Oh, I like their defense against Louisville. Like, I will sit there through that. Just to see Lee Corso put a giant animal head on his side. I'm here for it.
I get it. The signs are great.
The signs are great.
In the crowd.
I will. And Lee Corso, it's tough. Like he's still there. He has trouble sometimes getting the point out. But man, he reaches down to put that head on, and it's just gold. It's the best.
He's 89, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I just love it so much. I hope he just, I hope he can just keep going. Because I just love it so much. Anyway, all right.
So 89, confirmed.
I got to make some room for you here. I don't know. I'll blow through my NFL picks.
I mean, I'm not staying late, but okay.
I guess we do have time. It's not like we got to rush. All right, anyway. NFL picks. I think I said this with Joe O on Thursday during our pregame when he was with us. Like, I really had a tough time with these games. The teams that you like, the spreads are pretty big, and I know it's still so early in the season. Like, who are these people? I'm not really sure yet. Survivor ended up going with the Ravens. They're hosting the Raiders, so I will lay the 8.5. It's a big number. The Raiders are terrible. The Ravens did not have a good week one, but they're home, and I mean, come on. You beat the Raiders by 10, okay? Will you please? So
it's not even that impressive.
No, right? Baltimore minus 8.5 is pick one. I'm gonna lean on the Chiefs here. You see any of the footage of Burrow during the game?
Yes.
Shaking the hand constantly. I should say constantly, but just a few clips. He's on the bench, flexing it and working it. That ain't right. So that we talked about it, right? There's a higher, doesn't mean it has to happen, but there's a pretty high percentage of reoccurrence with that particular injury that he had. And he does not look real comfortable there to me. So not a good sign. They've had good success against KC. Their defense really has done a job on them. But I'll take Kansas City minus 5.5 at home against the Bengals. Another home, pretty big favorite, Eagles hosting the Falcons. This is one of the games I'm talking about. Like, it's a pretty big spread. What are the Falcons? It was a horrible debut for Cousins in an Atlanta uniform, losing at home to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh? Cousins didn't seem like he could move at all. They're in the pistol all the time, and they were very predictable. Like, when they were in the pistol, they ran all the time. When they were in the other thing, they passed all the time. Just a terrible look. So I'll take Philly minus the 6.5, hosting Atlanta, and I will go to the Texans. That's Sunday night, right? Texans,
yes,
hosting the Bears. That also is 6.5, at least when I looked.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Always feel free to correct me.
The only one that's different on mine is the Chiefs are 6, but, you know, if somewhere else it's 5.5, it's fine.
So there you have it. Texans, Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, all big home favorites. And then on the road, I'll go with Lane Kiffin and his visor and his stupid face.
Okay, I am going to change one of mine from yours. I was going to take Houston, but I think this is maybe where I get into trouble. All those reactions to week one are kind of baked in, like the Bears being so bad. And people know that they won the game, but they also know how inept they were on offense. I thought it was kind of strange, Caleb Williams. There were guys open. It did not look like one of these debuts where just like jailbreaks and bad, you know, false starts and all kinds of just mental stuff or just being undermined up front. It just looked like he kept missing. So I was going to pick Houston, but I won't. Because I do kind of like the idea that people are just like sort of ready for Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You were like all summer,
yeah,
slow down on Houston.
I don't love them. I just, like I said, I had a struggle looking at the schedule this week to find four games that I would want to put my name on.
Yeah. So I will drop Houston. I'll take the Bengals. Because likewise, everybody's sort of like miffed by the Bengals. They always start badly. It's 6, and everybody knows that. And their defense has been great against Kansas City. Like, no one better. So I'll take my chances there with the 6 points and Cincinnati. I will take Detroit.
Are we going to agree on what number are we? Because I
guess it doesn't matter. 5.5?
5.5 at FanDuel.
Yeah, the same. That's fine. How about you take minus 5.5 and I'll take 6 because we'll both look better.
No problem.
We could both not lose this way.
That would be amazing.
This is a first in the history of picks.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
I will take Detroit minus 7.5 at home against Tampa. Let's do it again, Tampa. Not against Washington this time. And Detroit was not perfect in their opener, and they still got home. This is a playoff rematch. I like Detroit very comfortably in that game against the Buccaneers and Mayfield. Because I don't usually sort of feel favorites. I always am questioning, like, the Chiefs and the Texans. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling that Detroit at home, Tampa travels week two.
And they got some injuries, too, Tampa. I saw they're down a few starters from week one.
Okay. I am going to take... I'm saving my favorite one. I'm going to take Arizona, -1 at home against the Rams. And injuries are the reason why. The Rams' entire offensive line is hurt to some degree. And, you know, the Cardinals lost here. They weren't bad offensively, even defensively, not terrible. I kind of want to hang on to the summer narratives on the Cardinals that there's a little bit of life there. And without Puka and all those linemen injured on the Rams already, it's pretty fragile. Like, Stafford is old, Kupp is old. It's kind of fragile with L.A. So I'll take Arizona -1. Against the Rams.
And Puka went to IR, right?
Puka went to IR.
Yeah.
McCaffrey might go to IR, they said today.
Yeah.
And I'm taking Carolina. Because who would? +5.5 at home against the Chargers. Everybody saw how bad they were. The Chargers get a win. Harbaugh, Ostrowski, you know, I can't. Can you imagine Jim Harbaugh losing to the Panthers? I can. So Carolina +5.5. It's only 5.5, west to east. Not the best spot for the road team. Give me the Panthers there. And in college football, last week I won betting against Oregon, and they held on. They beat Boise State, but only by 3.
That's 2 weeks in a row. They did not cover a bigger spread in week one than week two, but still. Yeah, I remember when you made the pick, I'm like, yeah, they had to eke out a win with a – they were like a 24-point favorite in week one.
Against Idaho,
right.
Maybe.
Right.
So I feel like probably knowing nothing about any of these teams, the market has reacted appropriately. I will take Oregon in the Civil War against Oregon State. 16.5 is that number. I'll take the Ducks. Storm Duck. Should have gone to Oregon, Storm Duck. Maybe he wanted to with that name.
Well, bet if it, you know. In fact, I know this. I read his bio. He holds a grudge. They did not recruit him.
Interesting. Storm Duck, Dolphins defensive player. Might have noticed him last night. I'm looking now to see where he actually went to school.
What are you doing in Survivor?
North Carolina
this week?
And Louisville. I think I'm taking Detroit. I mentioned that to Joe. I'm just super confident there, and there are 4 or 5 games in that touchdown range.
Mm-hmm.
So there shouldn't be, the Ravens are the biggest favorite. There shouldn't be like a runaway pick. So I'll take the Lions. And we talked a little bit about maybe they're too good to use this early in the season. I tend to not really worry about that. But last week I changed my mind 4 times.
Yeah.
I started with New Orleans and ended up on Seattle and would have been better off staying with New
Orleans. I had to put Baltimore in today because once we leave here, I'm going to East Aurora for the Borderland Festival. My wife has a stand inside the stables there selling jewelry that she makes, and I'm just going to be – that is going to be my weekend. I mean, there's Wi-Fi, and I'll be sitting there, I'm sure, minding the store at times while she's out, you know, having a drink or visiting friends and watching bands. Probably take turns doing that. So I'll have time, but my mind is not going to be on this at all. I'm like, what do I need to have buttoned up here? Right? Let's just get everything together before I get out there. Because once I'm there at 7:30 tonight, all bets are off.
We'll be back after a break. Sean McDermott's comments from earlier coming up at the top of the hour. And then Paul Hamilton will take it away from Harbor Center following that with the Prospects Challenge on tap for tonight. Sabres play tonight, tomorrow night, and then Monday late afternoon. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Friday continues next on WGR. All right, Bill, have yourself a weekend. The Bills are 2-0. Everybody snacks. The offense is going great. Defense, what a story with the injuries continuing, and they hold the Dolphins to 10 points. Last night, just kind of cruise with 45 plays and 247 yards. Good enough to win. Better take that down. 7 o'clock tonight, Sabres and Columbus. Paul, Brian, Brayton this weekend at the Prospects Challenge. Bulldog and I will be back on Monday, of course. We'll review week 2. Monday night is Atlanta, Philadelphia. Bulldog hates the Falcons. I think they should use Saquon in the tush-push just to make it interesting. You know?
I'm here for that. Sure.
And Saquon Barkley are like enemies.
Hold on. No, I'm not here for that. I have Jalen Hurts playing against you this week, so I need Hurts the cheap touchdowns he can get.
He only ran for like 30 yards in the Brazil game, but maybe Monday night will be different, and we'll have some hockey to reflect on here tonight, tomorrow, and more games on Monday. We'll have Sean McDermott's comments today after the Bills return home from Miami for you next. Then off to hockey. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.